Hey, Wingman Nation, welcome to the Wingman Men's Moment podcast. This is your producer, John Delaney, hanging at the hangar. It's just Pastor Jay and I today.
Good morning, John.
Good to see you, brother.
Man, we are alive in Lakeland.
Man, we are live and alive in Lakeland.
Live and alive.
On the right side of the grass.
Man, vertical is so good.
Beautiful day here in Central Florida. It's probably about 60 degrees.
Oh, goodness.
For all of you who are going through the snow. Nanny, nanny, boo-boo.
Sorry. Sorry.
You're in the wrong place. Come on. Come on down.
We endure the summer so we can get to this part of the year.
That's it. But for those of you far away, Lakeland is the fastest growing city in the state of Florida.
It is.
And Northport is number two, which is where I live.
Unreal.
And we're just excited that you're with us and listening today. And we hope, you know, on occasion, guys, bring your wife.
Exactly.
Let her listen to this. Ladies,
exactly.
We know that there's some of you listening because you want to see how crazy we are about men's ministry.
And that's
right. You know what we're crazy about? We're crazy about the men that you love, and we want them to be better husbands and better fathers and more godly men.
Exactly right.
Because our whole community changes when that happens.
It does. John, you and I were in a Bible study last night. And And we saw men, a room full of men, open up and get real.
They did.
And that's what it's all about. These guys got real, and they got vulnerable.
They did.
And you could just tell it freed them up.
It's
amazing. That's the atmosphere that Wingman Nation creates.
That's
so
it.
If you don't have this in your church, guys, try it. This will work.
Yeah.
It works.
If you get, you and I have spoken that I just started a new group at Movement Church down in Port Charlotte.
Yeah.
And we had seven guys at the first Monday morning.
John, I know you, and that'll grow, buddy.
That'll grow, and we'll spring a couple more off of that. But what's exciting is to see guys that are seeking something.
Yes.
And I looked at the seven of us, and the one guy was married 10 years, but everybody else was married 20, 25,
right.
30. One guy was 50, that they're still seeking to grow in Jesus.
Amen.
After being married that long. But here's the thing. Once you grow, once you get to a certain point, now you become the mentor.
You do.
So if you're listening to this and saying, hey, I already know a lot of this stuff, you know what? There's a lot of people in your life that don't.
Yeah.
And you are
a young man.
Do it to Paul and Timothy.
Yes.
You know, be the conduit.
That's right.
Of Jesus to those younger guys.
It's so important.
Know? It is. So today, our topic is turning theology into biography. This is part one of two.
Yeah.
We're going to be looking at Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. So, Jay, take it away, brother.
Thanks, John. Theology is a study about God, and biography is a study about someone's life. So what we're saying is we want to take what we know from God's Word and translate it into everyday living,
right,
into shoe leather.
We
want you to apply this to your lives.
We just talked about that.
And Paul gives us some amazing advice here. This will be two parts, so don't miss either one of these. So let's look at Romans 12, 9 through 21. Love must be free of hypocrisy. Detest what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never repay evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all people. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I mean, advice. This is amazing advice from the Apostle Paul. And advice, we all get it. And we all give it. And some of it's good, and some of it's just plain rotten.
True.
But it all depends on where that advice is coming from and how it's communicated.
So true.
An efficiency expert concluded a lecture with a note of caution. You don't want to try these techniques at home. Why not ask someone from the back of the audience? Well, I watched my wife's routine at breakfast for years, the expert explained. She made lots of trips to the refrigerator, stove, table, and cabinets, often carrying just a single item at a time. Honey, I suggested, why don't you try carrying several things at once? The person in the audience asked, did it save time? The expert replied, actually, yes. It used to take her 20 minutes to get breakfast ready. Now I do it in 7.
That sounds like my house.
Guys, do not try that at home. But Paul gives us this great advice as followers of Jesus. And in Romans 12, he speaks in very practical terms. Christianity, he tells us, is personal, but it is never meant to be private. I talk to some people and I hear them say, well, Christianity, my faith is private. Well, it shouldn't be.
Right.
It should be personal, but not private.
Big difference.
It is. Our faith is meant to be lived out loud every day, and these are core values. One theologian commented that this is the Sermon on the Mount lived out.
Yeah.
Paul gives us this how-to section where theology becomes biography. It is when your theology becomes biography lived out in everyday life that you make an impact for God or you make a God impression.
That's powerful.
It really is.
Yeah.
And these bits of advice, you can do it.
Yeah.
Because every one of these, John, they're choices.
They are choices. And that, and even, that's what we need to make sure people understand. Because you can choose. I know there are people that are so hard to love.
Yes, there are.
But, you know, I've seen people's lives changed. Not, I mean, the person who
right.
said, I'm going to love that guy or that person, that woman,
mm-hmm.
regardless. And I've seen the person's life change and the one who
yes.
let go of whatever the burden was,
yes.
whether it was forgiveness
right.
or something like that. So we have these tidbits for you. Number one
yes.
is choose to love people. Romans 12:9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. So choosing to love someone affects how you feel about that person.
It does.
And it's a choice. It doesn't work the other way around where you feel it and then you act on it. That's not God's way. No. Notice, this is it. You don't have to feel love to choose love. But when you consistently choose love, you're going to eventually feel love. You do love. Love does acts of kindness.
And John, if more marriages would practice this, because
yeah.
as a pastor and counselor, I've heard many times through the years, I love him, but I'm not in love with him.
Right.
Well, love is not a feeling.
No, it's
love
not.
Is a choice. It's right. something you do. So if you consistently do the right thing toward your husband, toward your wife, guys, you're going to feel it.
Sure. Yeah.
It may take a while. It
might be a warm, tingling sensation, but you'll feel it. I haven't felt that in a while. So notice in that Bible verse, it says, without hypocrisy, that's a hard word this
it
morning.
It is.
There are no ulterior motives.
Right.
This love is, it's a willingness to get involved. To be inconvenienced for the sake of that other person.
Right.
I love you because it's the right thing to do.
Yes.
No one can make me not love them. However, like may be a very different story.
God never tells us to like.
He put
but we got to love.
And the smiley face.
Yeah, it does. I just put that in there. Because that is not always easy,
hello.
Right?
No, I love it, but man, I don't like it.
Exactly. Look at number two. Hate evil.
Yeah.
Abhor what is evil, Romans 12:9. If you truly love God, you will hate what he hates.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, he never hates hates people, only the evil people do.
Right.
Evil is the absence of good. In fact, it is active opposition of anything good. The word abhor or hate here means to turn from it, to avoid it at all costs. So you express your hatred for that which is against God. You take a stand. When it comes to evil, we must never remain neutral. Mike Napa, in his book, The Courage to Be Christian, says this, I've got news for you. True Christianity, courageous Christianity, isn't for wimps.
Yeah.
It's not for the faint-hearted, the lukewarm, the moderately committed, or the occasional churchgoer. It is for the passionate, the ones with the courage to say, I believe God, and will dedicate my every waking hour to His purpose, no matter what it costs. That's what it means.
No matter the cost, is a saying that a ministry called Band of Brothers uses. And it's very powerful that
yes.
no matter the cost, I will stand for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when we do it, it's amazing what happens to everybody around us.
Yeah, Billy Graham said, when a man is showing courage, other men grow spines. And I love that.
That is good. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, number three is cling to the good things. Romans 12:9 says, cling to what is good. So get involved in trying to make things better. The word cling has the idea of super gluing yourself, cementing yourself to that which is right, that which is good, that which is from God. So there are many things attempting to get you to let go of the right thing. Don't do it.
Right.
So what is good? Good is what God says it is. Simple
yes.
as that. Make yes. sure you get God's definition of good and not man's definition of good.
Right.
Good is anything God uses to make us more like Jesus. It may not feel good. It may not look good. It may not sound good, but anything God does for your good is for you is good. So you find good by opening up the good book. Why do you call it the good books? God's holy word.
Amen.
So praying for discernment, man, I think that that's a powerful tool. When we recognize that we have discernment.
Right.
That is extremely powerful.
Right. We have the Holy Spirit.
We have the Holy Spirit leading us, and we recognize things, and I think we have the power, the strength of the Holy Spirit to be able to say no to things that maybe 10 years ago we couldn't, because we couldn't decide. We didn't have that discernment, that ability to know. So pray for discernment that you know what is good and what is evil, what's from God and what's from Satan, who is from God and who is from Satan in the world.
Yeah.
So you must have God's wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5 tells us to ask God for wisdom, and He will give it to us. Oh, God, please let me be a good thing clinger.
I like that. I want to be a good thing clinger. Super glue yourself to that.
That's good.
Yeah. Number four is demonstrate gentleness. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, Romans 12:10. Gentleness is strength under God's control. Meekness here, the idea, is not weakness.
Right.
It is strength under control. So be kind to everyone, because almost everyone is going through a rough time in some way. Devoted means a family kind of love. Be full of tenderness and gentleness. Don't be harsh or rude or untactful. Don't be hateful. Be kind. Try to make others feel at ease. Don't be blunt and abrupt. Never hide behind the mask of, well, that's just the way I am. That's my pet peeve. When someone says to me, it's just the way I am or the way he or she is, I get really upset. Have a loving touch. Listen to people. Don't interrupt. You can be tough and tender, strong and gentle, guys.
You
can have an iron hand with a silk glove. Thomas Watson, the founder of IBM, said, really big people are above everything else, courteous, considerate, and generous, not just to some people in some circumstances, but to everyone all the time. Sounds like Thomas Watson, I don't know much about him, sounds like he's borrowing a biblical concept here.
He absolutely is. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, number five, this is good. I think this is important that guys mm-hmm. do this, that everybody does this. Put others before yourself. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you're putting others first.
Right.
Give preference to one another in honor. That's Romans 12:10. Bless people. Put others first. Respect others. Respect their opinions. Don't worry about who gets the credit for something.
Yes.
Don't seek honor. Give honor to others. Esteem them as more important than yourself. There's a book that's, I think it's about leaders being the last one to eat.
Yes.
You know, let everybody go before you.
That's right.
I used to laugh about, and this is no knock on my father-in-law because he was a good godly man, but yeah. He was always the first one in line.
He was hungry.
He was hungry. He'd be standing by the food while they were praying. Okay.
Go.
And then he was also the first one to want to leave.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've eaten.
He ate, and you'd hear him say, and Sean will get a laugh if she hears this. She said, he'd hear him say, well,
that was the signal.
That was the signal. And then when he said, well, Aline, that was the signal to my mother-in-law, it was time to go.
There you go. So,
but put others before yourself. Give preference to one another in honor, like it says.
Yeah.
Take the initiative to encourage, to affirm, and to bless. Don't wait on someone to do that to you.
Yes.
The bigger person always takes the initiative. A mother was preparing pancakes for her two young sons. The boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. Their mother saw the opportunity for a moral lesson. If Jesus were sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. The older brother turned to his younger brother and said, okay, you be Jesus.
Wasn't quite the lesson that she was trying to get across.
Listen, remember Zig Ziglar?
Love Zig Ziglar.
So Zig Ziglar used to talk about cutting the pie.
Yeah.
He said, there's two pieces, there's pie left, and there's two pieces. And he says, and his mother said to them, okay, you know, they would argue.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to cut it? And he says, okay, you cut it, and then you pick the slice you want.
Wow.
Forced his brother to be as accurate as
now
possible.
That's pretty smart, mama.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Well, someone said, if you are all wrapped up in yourself, you are overdressed.
That is so true.
That's profound.
So true. Number six is never be lazy, not lagging behind in diligence, Romans 12:11. In other words, just don't be lazy. The word lag means to delay, to hesitate. Diligence means haste, intensity. Don't be idle. Stop procrastinating. Be on time. Be considerate of other people's time. Don't avoid what you don't want to do, but need to do. Mm. And then number seven is show enthusiasm. Fervent in spirit, Romans 12:11. Enthusiasm means in God. You are in God when God is in you through Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying have a passion for God first. Be enthusiastic about life. John Shedd said be a geyser instead of a mud puddle.
I like it.
Yeah, fervent means boiling, bubbling up. Be aglow with the Spirit. Live life wide open. Be on fire for God. Be for something and not just against something. Fight discouragement. Be passionate about your faith. Fight against becoming an it'll do Christian or an average Christian. It takes so little to be above average.
It does.
Someone said average is the best of the sorriest and the sorriest of the best. You don't want to be average. Enjoy life. Don't just endure it.
That's powerful.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, do you know people, you see them in church, you see them in life, and they're just trudging through life.
Just about. Just trying to get through and
make it
almost like they've given up.
It's sad because you know life has so much to offer, and the joy of Jesus Christ in people is just it's powerful.
I was at a checkout the other day, and this young lady was there, and I'm trying to engage her and be nice and be kind. She wasn't going to have it. She just wasn't going to have it. And I wanted to say to her, "You've just given up, haven't you?
Oh.
You've just
was she in line or was she the cashier?"
No, she was a cashier. You just give giving up. Don't give up, guys.
She was working at the Piggly Wiggly for too long.
No, yes, that's right. That's right, brother.
She needs to move. She needs to move up in the world.
Yes. Yes.
Well, number eight is obey God and trust Him to find a way.
Yes.
Romans 12:11 says, serving the Lord. Realize that you're here for God. You live your life to obey Him and to serve God as a servant would serve his master.
Right.
Okay, you place yourself at His disposal, anything, anytime, anywhere for God. Keep your eyes on Jesus and not on people and circumstances. Yeah. It's so much easier when you do that, because if you focus on the circumstance, then you're going to go down that rabbit hole of, oh, no, or oh, mm-hmm. oh, me, oh, my, whatever.
No.
Keep your eyes on Jesus.
That's
you know?
It.
Always make yourself available to the Lord. Never learn to say no to God.
Yeah.
At the point of obedience, you'll discover the power of Almighty God. This pictures obeying God as a habit, as a way of life.
Oh, my. And when you do that, you trust God for the results.
Exactly.
You're not responsible for the results.
No.
You're only responsible to obey.
That's it.
And leave the results with God.
And it's His plan, not our plan.
It is. You know, it is.
We can, when we go down that rabbit hole of, oh, no, it's usually us taking, oh, how can I fix this?
That's right.
Instead of trusting God to fix it.
Exactly. Number nine is live with excitement about the future, rejoicing in hope, Romans 12:12. One paraphrase says, cheerfully expectant. Hope is believing God's best is yet to come for you. Hope is faith in the future tense.
Yes.
Someone said, our hope lies not in the man we put on the moon, but in the man we put on the cross. Christians are always flying toward the dawn. I love that.
That's neat.
Look up. If you're going through a difficult time, it won't always be the way it is now.
That's right.
Find your joy in the fact that God is still in control. He's involved and He is into the details. So get your hopes up. The best is ahead. Anticipate what God is going to do as you stand on His promises. And when God tells me I have a future and a hope, that brings me great joy, John.
Absolutely, and it should.
Yes.
You know, it's promising.
It is promising.
So number 10, and I like this little saying here, hang in there no matter what. Hang in there. Perseverance is so powerful. And in the old, what are we, the old King James word, the King James?
This is the hangeth, Dennis King hang, James hangeth, version.
Hangeth thou in thereth.
Yeah, hangeth thou in thereth. I'm going to get me a bumper sticker that says that or a
great.
T-shirt.
I love it. Oh, hangeth thou in thereth. Yeah. That's good. I'm going to post that on Facebook.
Yeah, there you go. Know,
having a bad day? Hangeth thou in thereth. Jay Dennis.
Yeah, there you go.
Romans 12:12, persevering in tribulation. Man, perseverance is just, I think, going back to Zig Ziglar again, because he's one of my faves.
Yeah.
Stick-to-itiveness. Remember he used that word?
I love that term he used.
Stick-to-itiveness.
Yes.
And, that was, and he always, and the joke about the round to it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have one of those.
You have a round to
it's
it?
It's just a little wooden round chip, and it has T-U-I-T on it.
Yes,
it's a round to it. So
when I get around
round
to it.
You already got it.
Yeah,
you got
boy.
Stick-to-itiveness.
Stick-to-itiveness.
So my fellow Christians, got to tell you will not get out of this life without some scars.
You won't.
You know, I have them. You have them. We all have them. And, but we're no better than our Savior.
That's right.
Don't be a quitter.
Yes.
Hang on. Don't give up. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on problems. Trust God to see you through it. You don't have to understand it. Only hang on to God's word.
Yes.
Babe Ruth struck out 1,330 times.
Wow.
714 home runs.
Yep.
Okay. So he struck out almost twice as often as he hit a home run.
He did.
Okay. Keep on swinging. Oh, look, it's a Zig Ziglar quote.
Yes.
There are very few problems that pure dogged persistence won't eventually solve.
I guarantee you that's the truth.
It is. Yeah.
I think we give up too soon on some things, John.
And you know what's... you can watch it in generations.
Yeah.
You can see it in society now that, you know, the generation that came before us, they called it the greatest generation. They were the ones that fought the wars, you know.
Yeah.
They never gave up.
No, they didn't.
They fought their way through. They survived the Depression. Yeah. And then the next generation, our generation, we're pretty strong at sticking to stuff
we
too.
Are.
But you see, as we evolve or move on to future generations, people,
that's right.
Lazy was mentioned in here.
Yeah.
You know, don't be lazy. People just kind of drop the ball. They give up.
Yep.
And then their kids see it and they go, you know,
you
I'm
pass
next.
It on.
I'm next. You know,
pass it on.
That's exactly it. So number 11 is pray like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 12:12 also says devoted to prayer. It says devoted means to give constant attention to. So steadfastly continue in prayer. Let nothing keep you from your knees.
Right.
There's no problem that you can ever face that can't be solved from being on your knees crying out to God. From your knees, you can see and touch the world.
Yes.
Remember the story about Billy Graham, about that he was at the John Wesley house and they loaded the bus back up. And they couldn't, and he was missing. They went back, and there were holes in the carpet next to the bed where John Wesley knelt in prayer. That's some serious prayer.
Yes,
when you wear out the carpet or the
Amen.
Rug, you know,
Amen.
We can do it. You know, there's I'm trying to think of the movie. Was it where they had the lady had the prayer closet?
Yeah,
she literally had a war room.
Yeah, war room.
War room. That was the name of the movie. She had the war room. It was a little closet, but she had stuff. She knelt on that carpet. You know,
that's so good.
So
have
prayer,
a war room.
It, that's it. From your knees, you can see and touch the world. Prayer keeps the burning fire in you.
Yes.
Take everything to God in prayer. That's where you get the scent of heaven on you. The scent of heaven.
Yeah, the scent of heaven.
Yeah. He who prays the most helps most.
That's true.
Is that a Jay Dennis?
Yeah, I got it somewhere, and I don't remember where I got it, but it's so good. I love it.
It's absolutely He who prays the most helps
the
most.
That's
powerful.
It's true.
Yeah.
And then finally, number 12 is display generosity. Romans 12:13, contributing to the needs of the saints. Be on a daily mission to help meet the needs of people. Contributing means being a giver.
Yeah.
Don't be self-centered. Don't be stingy. Don't be a miser. Did you know the word miser is where we get the word miserable? Misers are miserable, and generous givers are glad. Be generous, and when you are, that will make you happy.
It will.
Jesus promises that. Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So give of yourself. That generosity should start with a tithe, one-tenth of what you make to God. Guys, tithing never fails. How do I know? Because God told us and promised us in Malachi 3:5-8. Let me end this podcast with this story. A man called in at the church office and asked if he could speak to the head hog at the trough. The secretary asked, who? The man replied, I want to speak to the head hog at the trough. Now that she was certain she had heard him correctly, the secretary said, I'm sorry, sir, but if you mean our pastor, you'll have to refer to him with more respect and ask for the pastor or even the minister or the reverend. But you certainly can't refer to him as the head hog at the trough. On hearing this, the man said, oh, I'm sorry. But I was going to give $25,000 to the building fund at your church. Just one moment, said the secretary. I think the big pig just walked in the door. You know, Winston Hurt Churchill said this. We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give.
That was one of his good statements.
It was one of his good statements.
Yeah.
When you give to God, he never spends a cent on himself.
Nope. Everything goes back.
So guys, take this. get your wife and have her listen with you. Get your family. Have a family devotional, because this is not just advice for guys. This is advice for Christians.
It is.
And it would be a wonderful devotional time. So we challenge you to do that. And also, if there's not a Wingman Nation chapter in your church, start one. Go to our website, wingmannation.com, and find out how you can start a chapter in your church.
Amen.
Thank you for listening. But until next time,
Wingman out. The Wingman Men's Moment podcast is brought to you courtesy of the Wingman Nation Men's Ministry. Visit us at wingmannation.com.